Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Yeah, I remember when I was on staff at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, you know, we used to just do a horrendous amount of counseling each and every day. I mean, the typical day, I'd have 7 or 8 different counseling appointments because a church of 40,000 people with just about 14 pastors on staff, you do the math, there's a lot of need out there. And so I'd have one person after another coming in, and boy, you know, you talk about the whole panorama of human experience and people struggling. You know, at this point, I wasn't married, I didn't have children, and this couple came in, and they were just absolutely devastated. They lost their child to sudden infant death syndrome, and they were looking for some comfort, and I just felt completely in over my head. You know, I couldn't say, well, you know, as a parent, I wasn't a parent at that point. I wasn't married. You know, here I'm this single guy trying to minister to these people in arguably one of the most difficult sets of circumstances you could ever be in. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, we talked and we prayed, and you know, they were very nice about it, and they said, thank you, you know, that's comforting. But I got to admit, they walked out of my office, and I just felt like I'd had the wind knocked out of me. I felt so absolutely inadequate after that. And so, you know, it was kind of a break between appointments, and I'm standing out in the patio area there in Costa Mesa, and I'm just kind of, you know, getting my breath and trying to gather my thoughts for the next counseling appointment when Pastor Romain, who was Chuck Smith's right-hand man, comes walking by. Now, Pastor Romain, for those of you who have never heard me tell Pastor Romain stories before, was a former Marine drill sergeant. He was in Guadalcanal in World War II, right? And if you know anything about Marine drill sergeants, once you are one, you are one. There's no such thing as an ex, right? And, you know, in Costa Mesa, they would say that Chuck Smith was the shepherd of the sheep, but Romain was the sheepdog because he'd nip you when you got out of line. He's a guy who didn't suffer fools gladly, for sure, and he sees me standing out there, and he walks up to me, and I'm just kind of standing there, and they walk up, and I look up, and it's Pastor Romain. He goes, "What's wrong with you?" And I went, I'm sorry. I just got done counseling this couple. You know, they just lost their child to sudden infant death syndrome, and you know, I'm just kind of gathering myself after all that. He goes, "Well, what'd you tell him?" I was like, I talked about how Jesus loved children. You know, he said, "Let the little children come to me and don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." I told him about the hope we have of everlasting life, that we can know that we're going to see those we love again in heaven because Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he looked at me and goes, "You read in the Bible?" And I thought for sure he was going to tell me next, "Drop and give me 50. And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Good." He goes, "If you ever come up with anything better to share with people than God's word, then share it. But till then, you stick to the Bible." Well, I never forgot those words. And that's what a pastor teacher is all about. It's interacting with people. You can't do it at a distance. You can't just do it behind the microphone at a radio ministry. You've got to be involved with people. But you've also got to connect people with the life-changing power of God's inspired word. That's why the Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, said this to Timothy, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn aside from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Well, that's what real ministry is all about. And, you know, in our lives, we've all been impacted by individuals who are pastors and teachers, you know, who were able to do both of those things. I remember my life being tremendously impacted early on by Chuck Swindoll, the famous radio pastor. I started listening to him on the radio and started getting some of his tapes and read his books. And I came to a crisis moment when I first got involved with the church. It was a church that had really kind of jettisoned the idea of the Bible as God's Word. And I was thinking about throwing in the towel. And I was just silly enough to call Chuck Swindoll's secretary and say, you know, I'm really facing some crisis. I'm wondering if, you know, I might be able to talk to Pastor Swindoll about it. Well, you know, the secretary said, he's really busy. I don't know if he's going to be able to get back to you, but, you know, we'll try. Well, long story short, he called me back personally and gave me some great advice. He said, in church, you've got to have negotiables and non-negotiables. If you don't like the way, for instance, they serve communion, that's a negotiable. If you prefer choruses over hymns, that's a negotiable. But the Word of God is never a negotiable. Well, not only did that keep me in ministry, and he encouraged me, he said, just because you're involved with a church that has kind of left the Word behind, there are good churches out there, and he encouraged me to find one. But a few years later, he came to speak at Talbot Seminary at a chapel, and I went up to him afterwards, and I said, you know, I just want to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. You really took time out and talked to some complete stranger over the phone, but it really made an impact on my life. And he said, what was the call about? And I said, well, you know, and I gave, he goes, oh yeah, I remember that. And that was that church. And where did you end up? And, you know, here's this guy who is on the air across the country, around the world, the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, you know, this person who I would consider one of the great Bible teachers of our day. And he remembered this conversation that we had. You know, that's a pastor teacher. No one would question his credentials as a teacher, but from that day onward, I never had any doubt about his credentials as a pastor. He cared. So, very important to see that these are the tools, these are the gifted individuals that God is going to use to bless his people. And here's the thing, as we said, if you're going to be ministered to, right, by, you know, apostles with a little A, you know, people who go out and start churches, The testimony of the 12, the foundation of our faith in Christ, the historical reality of Jesus. You're going to be ministered to in that way, say, by prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You got to show up. 90% of success in the Christian life is showing up. You got to be where God's people are, because guess what? Not only are there gifted individuals that want to build into you, but here's a radical thought. God wants you to become a gifted individual who can build in other people. Notice this whole thing about pastors and teachers and evangelists and so forth. It's there for a reason. Verse 12 tells us the reason. Why do we have these gifted individuals in the church? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, notice these gifted individuals who are here to build into the lives of individuals, they're for a purpose, for the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints. You know, I think probably one of the most effective spiritual strategies that Satan has used to the detriment of the church is convincing the average Christian that Christianity is a spectator sport. In other words, my job as a Christian is to sit in a pew and watch somebody else be excited about Jesus. You know, watch somebody else be excited about the Word. You know, and I'll sit there and, you know, if I can get through and not pass out at the end of the day on a Wednesday, I've done my thing. No, that's not what Christianity is all about. It's about equipping the saints. Now, the word equipping here is a really interesting word in the original language. It is a word in the original sense that was used to describe one of two things, either mending broken nets by fishermen or the mending, the setting of broken bones, believe it or not. You think of equipping the saints, saying, oh, yeah, you got to go to seminary, you got to get online, you got to take this course and that course and the other. No, the equipping that we are talking about here is the idea of, first of all, coming alongside people whose maybe faith is, quite frankly, full of holes. It has you know, gaps in it, gaping holes in it that make a person ineffective. I don't know how many of you are fans of that show, The Deadliest Catch. You know, I watch that show and I'm just stunned that these people actually do what they do to make a living, these Alaskan crab fishermen. But one of the things you learn, you watch Deadliest Catch for many times, you learn a little bit about crab pots. I mean, there are these 800-pound contraptions that have nets on them. And a big part of it is you got to bait these things and you got to drop these crab pots where you think the crab are, and it's a real risky kind of a deal. But you can have, you know, the crab pot, you can have it baited, you can have, you know, the on target for catching crab. But if that net has holes in it, the crab are going to come in and have a meal, and they're going to run right out. Well, sometimes I think we as believers in Christ need to be very careful. We have holes that need to be mended in terms of our faith. You know, and if you don't think that applies to you, well, here's a news flash for you. You got blind spots, I got blind spots, all God's children got blind spots. Every one of us have places where we're a little lacking in being complete. It's holiness kind of in a negative sense. We've got a few holes that need to be mended. How about mending a broken bone or setting a leg that needs setting? Well, once again, this is a reminder to us that God always uses imperfect people. In order for us to be used by God to help somebody else, we first need to be helped. Now, notice this equipping of the saints in verse 14 has a purpose for the work of ministry. In other words, you're in the church because God wants to use you to change the lives of others. I could never do that sort of thing. I'm completely ill-equipped to do something like that. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. Maybe God has equipped you down through time in ways that you don't really understand. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see what equipping the saints, what the work of the ministry is really all about. The Apostle Paul, at the beginning of this letter, said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who so wonderfully comforts us who are in any affliction, that we might comfort others with the same comfort whereby we are comforted by God." Now, I don't know about you, there's a lot of comfort in that passage, right? But it's comfort that is moving in a particular direction. God the Father is the God of all comfort. You know, he's not, you know, the ultimate critical parent in the sky with hands and hips waiting for you to screw up. He's a God of all comfort. He knows how to come alongside and encourage us. He encourages us so that we can be comforted in the midst of our afflictions. You know, sometimes the afflictions that we go through, we go, oh, why is this happening to me? We fail to realize that God is preparing us by allowing us to go through this affliction, by allowing us to endure in this affliction, so that we can get involved in the most effective form of ministry known to man. That is coming alongside somebody else who's in any affliction and look them in the eye and say, look, I know you're hurting. I know you're struggling. I know you're confused. I know that this is just an unforeseen set of circumstances you can never imagine, but I've been there. And this is what God taught me. Man, I'll tell you what, when you can look someone in the eye and say, I know what that feels like. I know what it is to struggle in that particular area. Boy, I want to tell you something. That is powerful, powerful ministry indeed. That's what God is equipping us for. Why is God setting your broken bones? Why is he mending your nets? Because he wants to use you. And he has people that you alone can minister to in the most effective way. And sometimes, as I said, oh, I'll leave ministry to, you know, Pastor Scott, or or Pastor Bo, you know, they're the ones who are on staff. They're the ones who are here supposedly to minister to people. You know, if we did all of that, first of all, if we made ourselves so indispensable that we were the only ones who could minister to people, boy, I'll tell you what, not only would that be a disservice to you, it'd be a disservice to us. Remember back in Exodus chapter 18? Moses getting the people of Israel going, you know, in the wilderness wanderings and all of this. And his father-in-law Jethro shows up. Check up on the boy. See how he's doing. Well, lo and behold, you know, here's Moses and he comes out of the tent. There's a line of people around the block waiting for his input. They're waiting for his input. And Jethro, his father-in-law, goes, you know, why are all these people waiting for you? He goes, well, you know, I know the laws of God, and they come to me with their disputes, and I settle their disputes, and I teach them the law of God. And it's so interesting. Jethro looks at Moses and goes, what you are doing is not good. What do you mean it's not good? Look at these numbers. You know what I mean? It's not good. I'm sharing God's word with people. But Jethro goes, no. If you keep doing this, you're going to wear yourself out and the people with you. Here's what you do. Go out to the people of Israel, find faithful men, good reputation, fear God, and help and set them over the smaller disputes. And he created this structure that he shared with Moses, about people that would be in charge of thousands or hundreds or fifties. And then finally he said, if any of these guys can't solve a particular problem, then have them bring it to you. And he goes, you do this, you're going to endure the people with you, and God will be with you. God will bless it. And Moses did that. Now, one of the real dangers that we get involved with in ministry is thinking it's a one-man show. Man, I got to make myself indispensable. I got to be the only one with the pearls of wisdom that people need. Well, once again, when that happens, that's a really dangerous place to be. If the pastor is the only one who can pray for you in a church, something's wrong. If a person on staff is the only one that you can go to and look for some wisdom and some guidance from the scripture, well, then God's word is not being shared effectively. You know, one of the things that I tell those of us who are on staff and those who are in leadership, I say, man, you got to disciple, disciple, disciple. And what I mean by that is this: you got to be constantly working yourself out of a job. That's what you got to be doing. You got to be making yourself less and less essential, and letting other people come alongside and help with the work. Because that frees you to pursue new areas of vision. You know, and if you don't, I guarantee you, man, ministry, it's not for cowards. You know, getting involved with people's lives, it can eat you up in a big time hurry. Like Jethro said, it will wear you out and the people with you. You know, notice why the people would be worn out. And nothing's more exhausting than sitting down with a pastor just kind of looks at you and goes, would you make it quick? I'm really tired. I've been talking to people all day. What do you want? That's not what I call great ministry. And if we're in that place, then we've got to revisit what we're doing in terms of ministry. Now, notice this equipping of the saints is for the work of ministry. God wants to use your life to come alongside how God's mended your broken bones, how God has mended your nets, the things that he has taught you. He wants you to have that one-on-one, look you in the eye, man, I know what that's like kind of experience. And God will set up your circumstances in life to make you absolutely qualified to be able to have that kind of ministry. And kind of like Moses' model, if you ever run into a situation where you're like that, you're sharing with somebody and it just seems like it's all over your head, or man, this is too big. That's where church staff comes in. That's where we are there to be your backstop, to help you out. But having a church staff is not an excuse for getting involved in the work of the ministry. Now, notice the point of it all. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here we see this edifying of the body. Why does God do a work in your life? Why does God comfort us? Why does God give us an opportunity to be able to share there? Because God doesn't want you to be a spiritual sponge. God wants you to be a Christian conduit. He wants you to be a channel through which his love and his grace in his life can flow. And I guarantee you, if you become a spiritual sponge, this has happened to me before in life, you're soaking up, and you're soaking up, and you're soaking up. It's an occupational hazard, like when you're in seminary, when you're trying to, you know, take in all this stuff, like trying to get a drink of water through a fire hose. But if you don't have outflow along with input, you know, bad stuff starts happening. You know, the scripture says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, and just knowledge, just becoming the master of scriptural trivial pursuit is not what spiritual maturity is all about. It's learning how to effectively communicate with other people so that they are built up for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I love what Chuck Smith says in the Word for Today Study Bible on this subject. The Word for Today Study Bible, commenting on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Chuck wrote this: "For years, in the earlier part of my ministry, most of my sermons were evangelistic. It was only when I began a careful study of Ephesians that I came to the conclusion that the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. I had kept church members in a state of perpetual infancy by preaching the same basic sermons to them over and over again until I discovered the real need in the church is a solid, systematic, expository teaching of the Scriptures. If I do my job, all those who listen and learn will then go out and evangelize and minister in many other ways, which will lead to the body of Christ being built up. It just works." I love that. What a beautiful philosophy of ministry. But understand something. You got to be in the body in order to allow the body to minister in its fullest and most beautiful sense of the term. You got to show up. You got to be around enough to get to know people, to get out of your comfort zone, to maybe extend yourself to other individuals that really need a hand, to have that big picture, if you will, vision of what's going on, saying, okay, God, use me before I leave to encourage somebody else. You know, some people believe they've successfully navigated the church if they make their way to a pastor like me before the end and get a little FaceTime. That's how they view church success. You know, and I get it. You know, there's sometimes you really just need to talk to the pastor and you need prayer, and that's what we're here for. Don't get me wrong. But the more mature in Christ you get, the less you should need that attaboy, that pat on the back. The more you should be looking around at other people, maybe someone sitting by themselves. You know, doesn't know anybody. You're going to be the one who builds a bridge. You're going to be the one who goes, how would I like to be treated if I was the person here who didn't know anybody else? You know, what can I do to build a bridge with that person? Maybe you see somebody and they're sitting there and, man, they just look like they've been run over by a truck. You know, they're just downcast and just looking kind of depressed and so on. You know, just to come up to them and say, hey, I notice you're looking a little down. Is there something we can pray about? See, you don't have to have a PhD in psychology. You don't have to do a big analysis and get out your ink blots and say, well, what do you see here? What did you think about your mother? And things like that. And one of the most powerful forms of ministry is just coming alongside somebody else and praying for them. Just praying for them. Maybe that's the best form of ministry. Because here's the deal. You ain't their answer, and neither am I.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661. 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.